Let's pray as we come to look at God's word. Lord Jesus, we pray that this morning by your Spirit you will speak into our hearts, that the word will come off the page and come to life in our lives. For your sake, amen. As Matthew's already said, we're still in our Worship in the Wilderness Lent series. So far we've mainly been considering how we worship when we personally are experiencing a difficult time, a time of grief, or a time when God feels absent, a personal wilderness, if you like. And so we've thought about solitude and stillness, fasting, sorrow, and our sacrifice in response to Jesus' sacrifice for us. But another aspect of wilderness, which we'll be considering this morning, is the wilderness that all of us find ourselves in. Although our culture has been shaped by Christianity, those values are increasingly under threat. And our day-to-day experience is often of a world that doesn't recognise God, a world which tells us to put ourselves first, our desires and wants, our experience, our comfort. And then we see that individualism, which tempts us all, we see what effect it has when it's played out on the world stage, amplified, as those with power or wealth seek to hold on to it, to increase it. And so we have wars and famine and a failure to care for and protect the vulnerable. Rather than a world which nurtures and values other people and God's creation, we see a wilderness where life is difficult for many and where it can be a real struggle to follow God. In the Bible story, the story of God's people, in that same kind of wilderness of God's people going astray, we find occasional followers of God, prophets, speaking into that wilderness. This is the call of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So today we're going to be thinking about how we can be faithful to God in a wilderness world, and even how we can be a voice in that wilderness, speaking for God, speaking of God, calling people back to him. The 40 years which the Israelites spent in the wilderness had a huge impact on them. It defined them as a people. They remembered the events of that time hundreds of years later. Particularly, they remembered God's faithfulness to them throughout it all. Again and again, you see it in the Psalms, for example, there's a reminder of the rescue from Egypt, a reminder of the crossing of the Red Sea, a reminder of God's guidance and God's provision, all to remind themselves that God is their God, that he provides, he is a God of loving kindness, a God who does not forget his promises. And so when, despite all that reminding, the people forgot God and so eventually end up in exile, it was this wilderness experience which they turned to understand the crisis they're now in. When the people of Judah are taken into exile by Babylon, are taken away from their promised land, from their homes, and then hear that back home Jerusalem and the temple have been destroyed, they were devastated. How could life ever get back to being normal? How could they go on? And it's into that situation that we find prophets, including Ezekiel, using the story of wilderness to say that God will again be faithful to his people, even in the wilderness experience that is their exile. And that's the context of our Old Testament reading from Ezekiel about the dry bones. In Ezekiel's vision from God, he is taken to a valley filled with human bones, the bones of people who are dead. Their bodies have rotted away, only the bones are left on the dry and dusty desert floor. There is absolutely no hope of life remaining. It's a picture of death and despair. Hope has gone. And then we read the meaning of this vision. God said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off." This image of the bones is an image of the people in exile who aren't just struggling. They've given up hope. They can see no way forward. Our hope is gone. We are totally cut off. We're finished. But of course, that vision of dry bones, well, that's not where the vision ended. God said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Well, obviously, the answer's no, isn't it? They're dried out, the flesh is gone, there's nothing there. But Ezekiel has just a little more faith. "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." And then God speaks. He calls Ezekiel to speak to the dead bones, to prophesy to them, to speak God's words, to tell those bones to hear the word of the Lord. Verse 5, "This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." And in the vision, as Ezekiel speaks those words, speaks God's words of recreation, they come true. The dead bones come together, muscles and flesh grow back over them. But there is still no life, no breath, and so Ezekiel speaks again, speaks of God's life-giving breath or spirit. And God's life-giving spirit comes and brings life to those dead bodies. In the vision, these dry bones, this hopeless situation, is transformed by God's word, by God's spirit, which breathes life and hope. When God speaks, it is never just words. God's words achieve something. And God says to Ezekiel, "This is what will happen to the people of Israel who are dejected and hopeless in exile. Speak to them, prophesy to them." And God promises to bring life by his word, by his spirit, and to take his people from the wilderness of exile and restore them back to their land, bringing back life and hope to the whole people. Notice that Ezekiel wasn't just speaking his own good ideas, his own desires, his hopes for his people. He was prophesying, that is, speaking the words that God gave him. In our world, our homes, our workplaces, the cafes or pubs we go to, in our church, among our friends, maybe further afield, if we are to bring words of hope and life, they need to be God's words, not just something we've thought up. Not our own good ideas or wishful thinking. And so that's a challenge for us, to spend time in God's words, absorbing it, praying for his spirit to guide us, to bring his word to life, to write it in our hearts, and then being prepared to speak God's truth in love, being prepared to speak when God prompts us, being someone who listens for his prompting us to pray or to speak out in ways that maybe we didn't expect, but which are reflections of his truth and his love and his faithfulness. Remembering, knowing that God's word is powerful, God's word is truth, God's word brings life. And for ourselves, when we find times difficult, when we find ourselves being tempted, we see in our second reading that Jesus shows us that God's word is our defence, our response. Our reading in Matthew chapter 4 of Jesus being tempted. Jesus is led into the desert. It seems that he understands his 40 days in the desert in the light of Israel's 40 years of wilderness, that foundational experience for God's people. When we looked a few weeks ago at Deuteronomy chapter 8, we saw that the reason God gives for Israel's Israel's wilderness wanderings was this: to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And this is the verse which Jesus quotes when the devil tempts him to deal with the hunger of fasting by turning stones into bread. Jesus answers with God's word. And he then goes on to quote words from God, life-giving words, in response to the devil's continued questioning and temptation. Do not put the Lord your God to the test, is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only, is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. These were instructions given to God's people at the end of their 40 years in the wilderness, part of the instructions of how to live as God's people in the promised land which they were about to enter. Instructions which God's people failed to keep, leading eventually to that exile we were speaking of just now. But instructions which Jesus kept. Words which he used to deal with temptation, to resist the devil, and to stay faithful to his Father God. Each of us faces choices every day: to follow God or to disobey him. God's word is given to us to help us, to remind us of his truth, of his love and faithfulness, of how to live in a way that is pleasing to him. And those words of truth are to be our defence against temptation. And so there again is that challenge to get to know our Bibles, to pray the promises and truths of the Bible so that they become part of us, ready to help to resist temptation. This is how we can be faithful to God. Faithful in a world which in so many ways is a wilderness for us. And not just faithful on a personal, private level, because God's truth and love does not and cannot stop at private prayers and piety, but we find his word calling us to share his love and truth, calling us to speak out God's words to the hurting and needy world around us, to speak and show his love. And so we learn to obey that call of Isaiah to be voices calling in the wilderness. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Shout it louder, O Jerusalem. Shout, and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we long to know you better, and we long to know your word better. Please help us as we spend time with you. Help us to put aside time, to focus, to listen, and to take your words to heart.